A cappella music has been around since humans first started to sing, but right now it's bigger than ever, in part thanks to a sleeper hit of a movie that was released in 2012.
Hi, any interest in joining our a cappella group?
Oh, right. This is like a thing now.
Oh, totes. We sing covers of songs, but we do it without any instruments. It's all from our mouths.
Now, Pitch Perfect 2 is on the big screen, and we're going to talk about the people who are making music with their mouths in Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'll talk with Paris Schnempf and Noreen Jaglum of Take Note Acapella, a University of Iowa-based group, Sean Lee, president of Dynamics, a men's acapella group based in Des Moines, and Lee Nelson, choral director at Wartburg College. He'll educate us about the history of acapella from barbershop to pop. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. A cappella music was popular well before 2012, when the movie Pitch Perfect hit the big screen. But that movie and its sequel, along with modern a cappella supergroups like Pentatonix and Street Corner Symphony, means that a cappella is having a moment. This hour, we'll talk about a cappella in Iowa. Coming up in a little while, I'll talk with Sean Lee. He's president of Dynamics, a men's a cappella group based in Des Moines. I'll also talk with Lee Nelson, who's the choral director at Wartburg College. But first, a group that has taken a lot of inspiration from the movie Pitch Perfect. In fact, they even recreated the final performance that is the climax of that film. That's a little bit of a performance by Take Note a cappella of the University of Iowa. And with me is Paris Schnepf. She is event coordinator for Take Note a cappella. Hello, Paris.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks. Yeah, we're glad to be here.
And Noreen Jaglum is the music director for the group. Hello, Noreen.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Now, I know that this group was founded in 2009, but Paris, your involvement in a cappella really does take a lot of inspiration from the movie Pitch Perfect, right?
Sure, yeah. So the movie came out when I was in high school. You know, I hadn't even had a thought of a cappella in my mind, being from a small town. That wasn't really a thought. Until I got to the University of Iowa and seeing that it was a collegiate level thing, and Pitch Perfect definitely stemmed from that.
And before you saw that movie, what did you think a cappella music was?
You know, it was definitely the barbershop quartets, you know, these old gentlemen singing. You know, it was a completely different thought from what I'm doing today.
What about you, Noreen? Did you have an idea of what a cappella music was before you got involved in Take Note?
Yeah, I mean, I knew a little bit. We had some a cappella groups in my high school. We had some college groups come visit, but it was never in my mind that it could be to the level that it is in Pitch Perfect.
Now, when this group, I realize you haven't been involved since it started in 2009, but when you did get involved, what kind of music were you doing?
We were doing music that none of us really were that interested in doing. It was a lot of old-timey things like God Only Knows and songs like that.
So why do you think you were doing music that none of you were that interested in?
Part of it was the ease of arrangements. Like, a lot of old-timey music was already arranged for us and readily available. So it was mostly just, like, out of ease, I guess. And it was easy music to learn.
So what drew you to doing this kind of music, even if it wasn't something the songs weren't particularly exciting to you?
I think probably starting my second year in the group, all of us kind of, we saw the potential in the group. We realized that we could really be so much better than what we were. And so we just kind of started reaching out, and we were more open to suggestions and rehearsals of more fun songs we could do. And so I think from it just being a collaborative effort of everyone contributing ideas of songs and mashups that we really were able to get to the level we are now.
Well, and Paris, I mean, for people who haven't performed a cappella music, you know, we see Pitch Perfect, we see some of these incredible groups like Pentatonix performing a cappella music, and yeah, it's amazing, but they are performing covers of popular music. I mean, what is really exciting about making this kind of music?
The really cool thing about a cappella is you're performing with others. You know, I was so used to, you know, me and my guitar by myself on a stage, and I never had the experience of working with others. And especially in a cappella, you know, you're depending on everyone's pitch, everyone's rhythm to stay together. And it's such a collaborative effort, which makes it so much more fun and exciting.
How about for you, Noreen?
I think it's, yeah, kind of the same thing. It's just the fact that we're all able to work together and anyone is free to come in and make suggestions for how to change the music. So we'll take really familiar songs and add our own kind of twist to it. And I think that's really what helps make a cappella such a special type of music.
Give me an idea of what the a cappella scene is like at the University of Iowa. You're not the only group.
There's a couple groups. There's a guys group, and then there's also, I believe, two other mixed groups on campus.
All right. Do you consider yourself to be a women's group? When I've looked at your videos, there's a man on stage with you.
Yeah, I think we're primarily a women's group. Maxwell, our beatboxer, was able to join us this year because he was really good and we needed a beatboxer. But I think primarily we try to think of ourselves as a women's group plus one.
All right. What kind of performing do you do?
We're able to perform all over. A lot of times, like local charity dinners and stuff like that will ask us to come perform. We've performed for sorority dinners. We've performed for Dance Marathon this year, which is the big charity on campus. And then this year we were able to do our first competition ever, which was super exciting for us. We went to Chicago and performed in Sing Strong. So I think every year as we get bigger and bigger and are able to do better and better music, like the types of performances we're doing are just getting infinitely better.
What is it actually like at an a cappella competition?
It's a really cool environment. You know, on Pitch Perfect, it's highly competitive and, you know, each group is out for one another. And I guess our experience with it was really exciting to see other groups and their sound and their presence and their choreography on stage is so much different than what we've seen in the past. So it's more of a fun experience for everyone to see what other groups can do. It was a really cool experience.
Now, one of the things in the movie Pitch Perfect that is so much fun to watch is they do something that they call a riff off where, you know, they'll just come up with a song and sing it. And as soon as somebody starts singing, then everybody else in the group is able to come in with their harmonies and their rhythms and all of the things that are needed to make this a complete performance. And I'm guessing that that's pretty much impossible in real life.
I mean, I wish it was possible. We've definitely had times in rehearsal where we all just pick a song and then just kind of start singing it and see what happens. And it's usually a lot of fun, but it never turns out quite as polished as it is in the movie.
What does it actually take to come up with an arrangement of a song for an a cappella group?
I think mostly it's just having in mind the kind of song that you want to do. So everyone will come up with songs that we want that we hear on the radio. And then it's kind of just knowing your voices, like knowing what the range is, knowing the difficulty of rhythms that we're capable of. And then just like putting it all together with a sound that reflects what we want to reflect as a group.
Once you start singing a cappella music like this, I mean, Paris, do you listen to music differently than you used to?
Completely. You start hearing different voice parts and how they arrange them from the low to the high. And, you know, when I'm in the car now and thinking of next year songs that we can arrange, you know, is this capable of being an a cappella piece, you know, that's fully, you know, arranged. You know, you think about it, it's completely different, not just the melody that's going on, but all the components that make it a great song.
Noreen, how about you? Do you listen differently than you used to?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes I'm in the car and I'm listening to music on the radio and I just find myself singing the bass line because I sing also too in the group. So yeah, I definitely agree. Every single song I hear, my first thought is, wow, how could that be turned into a song for a take note?
Now, I know that at some universities in the United States and elsewhere as well, I mean, a cappella music is huge and incredibly competitive. I was reading about how at one school, all of the groups get to claim songs at the beginning of the year. If they claim a popular song, then nobody else can perform it during the year. Do you see a cappella at the University of Iowa? Is it growing?
I think it's definitely growing. I mean, when I first started freshman year, I think there were only two groups, just Take Note and Intersection, the guys group. And now we have four a cappella groups. So it's definitely not as competitive yet here, but I hope in the future that it gets to that level.
And why do you think that a cappella is catching on so much? I mean, there was sort of this excitement about show choirs a few years ago with Glee being huge on television. And why do you think this is the moment for a cappella?
I think, I mean, it's a combination of it just being in the media right now with Pitch Perfect. And there's also, they had like the a cappella competition shows where Pentatonix got their start. So it's just a lot of like big groups that are getting more and more popular now, which I think is helping push a cappella in college to be more popular.
Now, to be able...
Again, kind of showing it that it's about, like, you can do more popular music besides just barbershop music, like
right.
Paris was saying.
To be able to sing a cappella music, do you have to have perfect pitch?
You don't have to have perfect pitch. You definitely have to be able to listen to the other members in the group and make sure you're matching what they're doing, especially matching like your soloist. So, yeah, you don't need to have perfect pitch, but you definitely need to be able to listen and follow along with what the other people are doing.
What's the most challenging part of singing a cappella?
I think for us this year, it was definitely rhythm. We have a tendency to really speed up on our music. So it's really hard with everyone speeding up as a group to really slow down and try to stay in time.
So. The music that you're performing and the people you're performing for, sometimes when I see videos of a cappella groups performing and they're you know, it's just you. You're there without any instrumentation. Does it feel kind of vulnerable to sing in that way?
I think one of the biggest struggles, too, we had with some of our group members was, you know, you are vulnerable. You're standing there. You know, you don't have an instrument, per se, in front of you. It's just you and your voice and your group members. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, sometimes feel the music if the environment isn't exactly what you imagined it to be. You know, say we're on a stage, you know, with lights and smoke everywhere like it was in Chicago. That's an easy environment to perform in because you feel like you're in, you know, a great setting. Whereas, you know, if you're singing in the background at a dinner and, you know, it's just you and your group, it can be very difficult. And so I think one of the hardest things for people, you know, especially as an events director, for people to understand about a cappella is that it's just voices. You know, we're not amplified. It's just us. And so to get that across sometimes is hard and difficult. And it's a struggle as a group, too.
Well, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having
us.
Paris Schneff and Noreen Jaglom of Take Note A Cappella at the University of Iowa. And let's go to the break with another one of their performances. This is Counting Stars, the performance that they did for their competition.
Baby, I've been, praying hard. Said no more counting dollars. We'll be counting stars.
This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about a cappella music in Iowa. And coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Sean Lee. He's president of Dynamics, a men's a cappella group based in Des Moines. But joining me right now is Lee Nelson. He is the choral director at Wartburg College, also an associate professor of music at Wartburg College. Hello, Lee.
Hi, great to be here today.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And as I mentioned earlier, a cappella music has been around ever since the first humans started to sing. But can you give me sort of a history of this kind of music?
Yeah, singing is as early as humans when they were created. It's natural to sing. It's Robert Shaw said music is the voice of the spirit, and I think that really epitomizes what singing is all about. It's what makes us what makes us human. The word a cappella actually is an Italian word. Cappella is a word for chapel, and so much of the early music that we think of being unaccompanied was found in the churches, and then in social groups, in restaurants, bars, taverns, in the home, singing around the Christmas tree and things like that. Then we move into like the slave work songs in the 17th, 18th century, 19th century, shape note singing in America. That all started to morph into other popular groups at the turn of the century, like barbershop music, and people getting together and singing. And
so is that really the point at which a cappella becomes something that leaves the church?
Yeah, well, you know, I think not necessarily. Music is... it's not as documented as music that's in the church. Obviously, there's secular songs like madrigal singing and things like that. There's the Masons have songs that Mozart would write for. There's all sorts of secular music out there. Even Bach wrote secular cantatas that dealt with coffee. He wrote a whole cantata based about coffee and eating and drinking. So there's lots of music outside of that. But I would say the a cappella movement that we're seeing in America is really starting to stem from groups like the Barbershop Society and the collegiate groups like the Whiffenpoofs that have been around for now, you know, decades. And that's kind of where we're going with music.
Well, and when I think about barbershop quartet music, I mean, that was music that was specifically written to be performed in that way, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it was a way of bringing guys and then ladies together to sing in a very specific style and with a very specific sort of harmony.
So the music that we're hearing now with some of these big groups, and of course in the movie, I mean, and in different college groups, it's focused on performing covers of popular music. Can you sort of point to when a cappella started going in that direction?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, you know, that has happened early on. I would say one of the first, one of the most well-known examples would be when the Music Man came out, and there was a barbershop quartet group called the Buffalo Bills that took barbershop to a whole new level when they started singing Light a Rose and Goodnight Ladies and some of those songs out of the Music Man. Collegiate groups have been doing covers for a long, long time, taking well-known, loved songs and putting their own twist to it. Then you start to see in the 60s and the 70s, groups like The Persuasions and Manhattan Transfer that are names of a cappella groups that people start to go, oh, that's a jazz ensemble. And they would do A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square and some of those loved songs. Then I think the general public, if you started singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight, almost everyone could chime in. You hear that in middle schools today. Back in 1981, the Nylons came out with that tune. And then people like Billy Joel, The Longest Time, Paul Simon's Graceland, that just took a cappella singing to a whole new level.
When people sing a cappella music, I mean, of course, barbershop quartet, that was all about the harmonies, and harmonies are a big part of any kind of a cappella performance. What is it about singing in harmony with other people? How does that feel when you're a performer?
There's a real synergy that takes place. It's very electric. There's singing, as I was listening to Paris and Noreen talk, they brought up the word community and collaboration and working, that idea of working as a team, taking your voice and putting it into a set of other people and allowing that to create something far greater than anything you can produce yourself. There's an electricity that takes place that is nearly indescribable. People try to describe it, but there's something that just sort of opens up inside of you that makes you feel less nervous about singing and more excited about sharing your own gifts with others to make a greater good.
I'm talking with Lee Nelson. He's an associate professor of music at Wartburg College. He's also the director of choral activities at Wartburg. And we're talking about a cappella music this hour. You are welcome to join our conversation as well. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Is this kind of music a passion of yours? Do you perform it? Do you follow groups that perform it? What about it is so powerful to you. Give us a call. Again, 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And I also want to bring someone else into the conversation. Now, we've been talking a lot about a cappella music performed by college groups. Sean Lee is the president of Dynamics. It's a men's group, an a cappella group based in Des Moines. They are not in college, although I believe the seeds of this began in college. Hello, Sean.
Hello and good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Certainly.
And Dynamics has been around or been together for about 3 years. Tell me about how it got started.
Yeah. So Leah touched on a couple of different points. Thanks for the history lesson. Actually, I learned quite a bit from that, so appreciate that. So it all started from just the early roots, from even getting up on stage through kindergarten all the way through grade school and then into college. What we all had in common, all the members of my group, was just to keep that dream alive after college, where we can continue on in our young professional life and beyond. So not only is singing a cappella or singing choir music something where you do before you have a profession, it's something that you can do throughout your entire life. And we've just had a similar dream and pretty much roughly the same age group. So we're really able to relate to everything that's going on in our lives to make us a very clean-cut and close group.
And what made you want to continue doing this after college? I mean, this is something that a lot of people leave behind.
Certainly. When I talk to anyone that did perform in college or did a lot of musical activities through high school, they all want to do it again. They certainly miss it. They miss the feeling of being either up on stage or just having that synergy with the group, like Lee mentioned. But what I see as being that probably the biggest factor. Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Just because you didn't want to leave it behind, I guess.
I think what we just focused on making not just a what if or a hope of maybe we could do it again. So we really worked very hard on figuring out a way for us to, with our lives now, we're all busy. We all have something different on different schedules, but we make sure to set some time away. So our dream's not going to go away. We're going to be able to be a group and set aside some time. So it's not just going to be a dream anymore. It's going to be something that we can make happen and continue making happen around Des Moines.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of the music you make together. This is On My Way Home, performed by the Dynamics.
All of my life. How did the young survive? We're never satisfied. Only if I could listen. When the lights go down in the middle of the night, where will I run to? When the lights go down in the middle of the night, where will I hide? When the lights go down in the middle of the night, where will I run to? When the lights go down in the middle of the night,
a little bit of a performance by the Dynamics, and with me is Sean Lee. He's the president of Dynamics. And Sean, you said you're turning this dream into reality. What is the dream?
Oh, I think the dream is being able to take something that's either on a piece of paper or just from a recording we hear and turning into something that is completely our own. Right now we're five individuals, and being able to have five completely different styles and techniques and putting them all in together to blend, to have that electricity, to have just an incredible sound. That's the dream. That's the dream for any piece that we take on and really turn that into a whole set and to be able to perform and share our synergy with a crowd, big or small.
How do you decide what you're going to perform?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So what we want to do is our focus is really not just on one genre or anything. Really what we bring to every single practice, we try to practice at least once a week. bringing a new idea, a new song, whether that be from an old barbershop quartet, song list that we've seen, whether it be one we just heard on the radio. It's really what inspires all of us when we kind of get a unanimous vote to, hey, let's do this. This is something different. This is going to be a challenge for us. Let's take it on. So I would say a couple of the key points to how we figure out our next song to work on is being a challenge, being able to make it our own, put our own dynamic spin on it, and knowing that it's going to sound excellent with our own voices.
How do you go about putting together an arrangement? I was just, you know, talking with Paris and Noreen. I talked about that great moment in the movie Pitch Perfect where they have their riff off and somebody can just start a song and everybody else can just join in with the harmony and the beat and all of the pieces that they need to have. And again, I'm sure it's not exactly like that. What does it take to put all those pieces together?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the riff off scene. I think we all thoroughly enjoyed that when Pitch Perfect came out. It's certainly, I mean, that movie and the second one now have been real eye-openers for a lot of the community and getting into a cappella more. So that's just a plus for us. But with that whole riff off, just being able to be creative on the fly, that's actually how a lot of our content is made. Now, we might start with a piece of sheet music from maybe a popular song and then go from there. But there's a lot of songs that we've performed and we've simply completed them just by listening to it and picking out our own parts and then creating our own parts as we go. I think that's what we as a group, I think we would all agree, is probably the most exciting, is that we take our skill set and our ear for music that we've obtained over the years and make our own song without having to do a lot of preparation. It's really just based on the feeling that we all get. And I think that's what's really exciting is it's all just those gut feelings about how something's going to sound. So it's not really anyone telling us how it should sound. It's our own feelings and making it one.
How long does it take you to perfect a song in your mind?
Yeah, I think that perfection is a goal that's it's never achieved. But I think that, on average, we'll probably spend 4 or 5 practices working on a song. Sometimes we'll give ourselves some homework to kind of go over our own parts. But what we'll do is we'll build part by part. We'll get the gist of the song and then start building on our own flair, whether that be a completely different harmony or adding a couple of great notes to add a better, a whole better sound toward the end or something like that. But we build over a course of a few practices or so, and we really seem to nail it.
How do you get sort of an outsider's perspective of your sound? Because I'm sure when you're within the group, it sounds different than it does to me listening.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we do like to have others from the outside kind of listen in, whether we invite some of our friends to practice and we get their feedback on what our sound's like. I mean, I can tell you at least from my perspective, when I'm singing, I can, you're definitely able to hear your own part very well, and you feel like you're blending in very well, but the sound is so different when you step away. So, we do love to have others join and listening to our set, or either one of us will actually step away from the group and listen kind of as an audience as well to really gain that perspective, because when you're singing in the group individually or as part of the group, it really does have a quite a bit different sound than when you're just listening. But it's very eye-opening and having that outside perspective, that really helps us grow as a group too, because we can work on blending, we can work on what we need to accent and so forth. So that outside perspective really, really does help form and complete a song closer to perfection.
What kind of performing do you do?
As in like what event?
Yeah, where?
Or where?
Yeah,
so some of the favorite places, just to name a few. So we've done a lot of around Des Moines. I mean, Dynamics, it's really a play on the name Des Moines and Mix put together. So we really focus on the Des Moines venues and the culture around here. We've been very fortunate enough to perform at banquets at 801 Chop House. That's great because we get paid and they're wonderful food. Also, the Science Center galas that happen once a year. Several farmers markets. We've been those going on. This will be our third year there, as well as weddings and receptions. And we're even fortunate enough to be a part of a proposal. So I would say
yeah,
a lot
actually,
of
we have know. We have just about 20 seconds from that proposal performance. Let's play that. We cut out the barking dog, but we have just a little a little bit from that proposal performance. We pulled that off the YouTube video. That looked like, I mean, the people really enjoyed it more than the dog that was not a fan of your performance. That, like I said, we cut that out. But when you're performing like that, that seems like that must be a really intense feeling. You've got, you know, just a couple of people there listening to you and the entire group singing for them. What does that feel like?
Oh, well, that was a rush. And just the backstory of it, I mean, you know, it being a surprise to a guy's girlfriend and us walking in like we're neighbors of their new house, walking in and kind of barging in and starting a favorite song of theirs. That was incredible. We don't need a big crowd for such a rush. Just being able to be a part of such a special moment, that makes us just want to sing to the absolute best of our abilities in order to blend the best and just create that sound that kind of gives you those chills. That rush is something that we always go for.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Lee is president of The Dynamics, a men's a cappella group based in Des Moines. You can hear them at the Farmers Market, and they are available for performances. We'll be back in just a moment to continue talking about a cappella music in Iowa. We'd love to hear from you as well. And Lee Nelson, of course, is still with us. He's the director of choral activities at Wartburg College. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about a cappella singing in Iowa, and you are welcome to join our conversation. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Is this a kind of music that you feel passionate about? We'd love to hear your thoughts. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Lee Nelson is with me. He's associate professor of music at Wartburg College. He's also the director of choral activities at Wartburg College. And Lee, earlier you talked about how this kind of music just really inspires people to sing together. And that's something that you feel we're kind of losing in our culture. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's interesting, yeah. People, with the advent of music being so readily available, you know, everyone has their favorite pieces or their favorite songs right on their phone, and they can listen to it at any time, and it's wonderful. The problem with that is that everyone's standard is now so high. They think that if we form a group, we need to sound just like the Pentatonix, or we need to sound as good as Manhattan Transfer or whatever. And I think what's important to remember is that singing is about enjoyment, and it's about feeling deeper and learning about others and the world around you and just simply in having fun. And I feel like sometimes the general perception is that, oh, I don't have a good singing voice. You know, I'm not as good as, you know, this person I heard on the radio. And that has nothing to do with it. Everyone can sing, and everyone's voice can contribute in positive ways to bring people together.
Now, at Wartburg College, of course, which is very, very well known for all of your many music programs, but you actually try to make sure that people who are not just music majors are involved in the choirs and the other musical groups?
Absolutely. It's a statistic we're really, really proud of, that we try not to make any of our ensembles a strictly music major only ensemble. So our top choirs, our top band, our top orchestra doesn't have, of course there's music majors in there, but we work to get at least 50% non-majors. So all academic disciplines are represented. It brings just a wonderful breadth of perspective and it's interesting. In some of our other choirs, we have people who've never sang in a choir ever. So in our men's choirs and our women's choirs, they've never, they've thought about it, but just have never tried singing, and sometimes they end up being some of our best voices.
And you were actually one of those non-music majors. You weren't at Wartburg, but you went to school to be an accountant, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I had no intention of majoring in music. I sang in high school, and I played in the band, and I enjoyed it, but I had no intention of singing, and by sheer luck, I got a scholarship in voice, and I started taking a voice lesson, which I'd never had one of those before, and I started singing in a choir, and the electricity, I'll never forget that first moment of hearing all of these voices together in song, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and something inside of me just lit up, and it changed my life, literally. A semester later, changed my major to music education, and it was the best thing I ever did.
We want to go to the phones. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Chris is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Hi.
I've been enjoying the conversation.
Thanks. What would you like to talk about?
Well, my interest in this a cappella singing goes back probably to the 70s. The Tonight Show every year at the holidays would have on the King Singers. And that sparked my interest, and a little more research showed the variety of music that they sang, and that sparked my interest in other groups, and I'm still a fan today. It amazes me the power of the voice and what they can bring to various songs and musical genres.
And Lee, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, the King Singers are one of my favorite groups. That's a perfect example of their professional ensemble. Now I think on their fourth generation of singers. I think there's only one original member in the group, who sing beautifully in classical styles, what you would consider classical choral styles, like madrigals and Renaissance motets and things like that. But then they cross over into to popular music, singing. All sorts of radio covers today, and doing it with their own twist, just like Sean was talking about. They add their own sound to it, and I think it's wonderful to see those sort of hybrid ensembles out there.
Yeah, Chris, thank you so much for your call. And it is funny. I mean, I even think about this was something that I remember from watching WKRP in Cincinnati. They were making fun of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for singing covers of popular songs. So, you know, as they were introducing the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing She's Having My Baby.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, this is something that has been going on for a very, very long time. I mean, I think every generation likes to think that we've reinvented the wheel, but it's just different music that's getting covered, right?
That's exactly right. What's really been interesting is now the advent of the mashup, where you take all sorts of crazy different songs that you wouldn't necessarily put together, and you seamlessly start to connect different pieces together, which I think is turning into a really beautiful art form. I think it's kind of an interesting thing that you see in Pitch Perfect. So.
Sure. Well, and I think that's something that really speaks to the musicality of the people who are doing that, because I'm not a particularly musical person, but it kind of blows my mind when people can hear two very different things and bring it together and make it something really amazing.
Yeah, and it truly is a new art form. Imagine taking two beautiful paintings and, you know, taking the Mona Lisa and then matching it up with Starry Night. You know, what would that look like? What would that feel like? And it creates a whole nother art, a whole nother art form.
Jim is on the line at 866-780-9100. Hi, Jim.
Hi there.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I would like to try to describe what I've heard your guests say is kind of that moment of electricity and that unforgettable musical moment. I was lucky enough to sing in a really good high school choir. I was lucky enough to sing in a wonderful collegiate choir, a cappella choir, and about 15 years ago, in a small group, I heard Weston Noble describe it this way. And he's a longtime choral director at Luther College. And he had tried to find, he'd read everything he could get his hands on to find a description of what that moment is. And he said that he had finally come up with this description himself. And as soon as he said it, I knew exactly what he was talking about. Those of us in the room, we knew what he was talking about. He said, when you are singing and you hit one of those chords where all the coloration of the vowels, everybody's singing the same vowel color, and everybody's on pitch, and you might catch some overtones. He said, in that moment, you are physically, emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually, everything in your life is lining up. And there aren't too many moments in life like that, where physically and emotionally and intellectually and spiritually, we're right where we need to be. And whether it lasts for, 2 seconds in a musical piece or for 2 minutes or more in a musical piece, he said, once you've had that, once you've experienced that, you want it again. And that's why you keep practicing and rehearsing and looking for that moment in singing one more time. And it made a lot of sense to me, the way he described it. And I hope I've given his description, I hope I've done it justice. And lastly, very briefly, I was lucky enough about 2 or 3 weeks ago, quite a number of us were, to hear the Whiffen Poofs at the Elkader Opera House, in beautiful downtown Elkader. Stunning musical performance. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Oh, Jim, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome.
And bye. Lee, I mean, I'm sure that resonates with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, Weston Noble is just a genius in putting words into how that feels. There's a Celtic idea where there's moments in life where you find the thin spots that take us from Earth to another sphere, to another place. And so often I feel like we find those thin spots when we're singing. There's times in performance where, like he said, you hit a chord and all of a sudden the audience and everything disappears. You forget that you're in performance and you're simply being there now together. And that's all that it needs. And it takes you to a whole nother place.
Now, earlier we were talking about how we focus so much more, it seems like today, on star performers or on soloists and less on making music together. And even, you know, in the 30 years that have passed since I was in elementary school, it seems to me that the opportunities for making music together, for singing together when you're children, are much fewer and farther between. Is that a trend that you've observed as well?
Unfortunately, yeah. Chorus America, it's a national group that did an impact study in 2009, and they came out, they said there's 42.6 million people singing in the United States, over 270,000 choruses, which is a really exciting statistic. It's actually up from 2003, but they also found out that there's decline happening in choral singing at an alarming trend, and that now that in many schools, the arts continue to get cut. Many times, there's not even choirs in some of the schools anymore, in churches as well, where there's a group leading the music from the front, but the congregation isn't singing. They're listening. They're not participating. And that all leads to the decline of these opportunities that are so vital to keeping music alive.
Kids, of course, all believe they can sing well,
yeah.
Whether it's true or not, but they all love to sing and can sing. And I can imagine, you know, just for me personally, as I've gotten older, the idea of singing where anybody could hear me has gotten to be more and more off-putting. So, I mean, if you don't do it as a kid, is it really hard to, you talked about having people in your choir at Wartburg who'd never performed in a choir before. Is that a hard leap to take as an adult?
It is. It's a very scary. One of the most personal things there is about you is your voice. It's a reflection of your soul, of your entire being. And the nice thing about choirs is that the group isn't dependent solely upon you. You're one of a number of people. So in my men's choir, where a lot of these guys have never sang before, well, they might be one out of 30 different baritones. And so all of a sudden, there's a whole team of them together. And you get stripped of that fear and allow yourself to be vulnerable and to be open. And all of a sudden, you sing. You're still perhaps scared to sing on your own, but within a group, you feel far more confident.
And let's go back to the phone. Steve is on the line in Cedar Falls. Hi, Steve. Steve, are you there? Hi.
Yeah, I was wondering. I like Jubilee style gospel quartets from the 40s and 50s and stuff, and wondered if that's evolved into the street corner harmonies and stuff that, you know, the Philadelphias and Brooklyn's and whatever. And then also, I guess my other comment is that we found a lot of comfort singing traditionals. We're five brothers singing traditionals and hymns and stuff. My dad was in hospice in his last days. And so anyway, if there's comment. And I also wondered if there was anything in bluegrass tradition.
Absolutely. All of those, all of the above, they all add to the tapestry of singing in America and all over the world. It's interesting when you go internationally, when they think about American music, those are the sort of songs that they typically want to hear. They want to hear the African-American spiritual. They want to hear the Jubilee gospel songs. When I go on tour with the Warburg Choir, we just went on a 30-day tour last year, and we just did a whole set of music from America, and they want to hear the Broadway songs. They want to hear the gospel songs. They want to hear the spirituals and the American folk songs. Amazing Grace was the most loved piece that we sang on the entire tour program last year, and that all adds to defining singing in America today.
Steve, thank you so much for your call, and I know that the Wartburg Choir and many of your music programs are recognized around the nation and around the world. I know that you directed Wartburg's chorus for a White House performance and had some amazing honors, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment, but I wonder, do you feel like maybe we're focused a little too much on competition in musical performance today?
Well, that's a really good question, and that's probably a whole other show. I'll speak just briefly about it. Yeah, competition has wonderful aspects to it. It really raises the level of excellence. It drives people. It motivates people. We are innately competitive. Human nature is. And there's a lot of wonderful things about that and building quality and building a program. But at the same time, it can be very off-putting. It can make people even more scared. It adds to that idea of, oh, I've got to be really, really good. Otherwise, I can't do it. Think of a sports analogy. My son is 9 years old, and he signed up for tackle football with the other, 159-year-olds out there. And they weed that down to, the top 30, 40 players by the time they're in high school. And singing is not about that. The singing is about keeping that number. Everyone can sing. Sean talked about lifelong singing. It's so critical that we continue to sing, not for the competition of it, of being better than somebody, but because of we have to do it. It just is part of who we are.
And we are going to go out today with the performance that the Wartburg Chorus did perform at the White House. And this was Flood My Soul. And this was a whole theme inspired by the floods of 2008. Can you just very briefly tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. When I came to Wartburg in 2009, the town had been just devastated by the flood of 2008. And houses were being ripped down, and everyone was impacted. And so I thought, well, music is a reflection of the world around us. We can use that idea and create a whole tour program around the healing aspect, the regeneration that floods can also bring. It can be devastating, but it can also lift up and build anew. And the White House heard that on iTunes and bought our album and then called us to sing on their concert series.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll go out with that music today. And Lee, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lee Nelson, Associate Professor of Music at Wartburg College, also Director of Choral Activities at Wartburg College. This is Flood My Soul. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.